Mouthing Off is a theater, arts, and culture podcast from Bad Mouth Theater Company in St. Paul, Minnesota. I'm Amanda Forstrom.
I'm Kevin Couchman.
And I'm Mari Sittner. Mouthing Off features compelling interviews and discussions with artists and creators from around the Twin Cities and beyond.
Tune in for something different online where you get your podcasts at badmouthtc.com and on the air in St. Paul through Frogtown Radio 94.1 FM.
And if you've got something going on around the Twin Cities you'd like to talk about, we want to hear from you. Email us at badmouthtc@gmail.com.
Mouthing Off is sponsored by Minnesota Playlist, the digital destination for live performing arts. Producers can find talent to work with, directors can cast productions with audition ads, teachers can find students with a classified, and audiences can find the perfect show to attend on the state's largest calendar of theater and dance shows. Find out more at minnesotaplaylist.com.
We hope you enjoy the show.
We're back with another episode of Mouthing Off, the theater arts and culture podcast for the Twin Cities and beyond. I'm Kevin Couchman. I have with me Mari Sittner in New York City. Mari, how are you?
I'm doing pretty good. You know, like I said last episode, tail end of submission season. We got some fake out spring weather. Are you guys getting over there?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, we had a little fake out. And see, now today feels cold because it warms up and then you immediately acclimate. And then the sky goes gray and you look up and you go, where's the sun? Well, we're going to try to bring a little sunshine to you by way of another interview. Of course, this is primarily an interview show about theater arts and culture. We have a couple of guests for you. I'm going to introduce the gang at Full Circle Theater here in Minnesota. And I'll start with Shay Cage, who is the co-artistic director. And then we're also joined by Quincy Bachman. But let's start with Shay, because Shay, I believe you're the one who reached out. And so we're excited to get to know you and your company. I'm just going to say right away, it's at Full Circle Theater, ERMN.org. Welcome to Mouthing Off. How are you?
I'm really good. Well, and it's funny that you guys are talking about the weather because it was 50 degrees today. And it's funny. You're just like, wasn't that warm? That's fantastic for me.
You're right. Listen, you're right. I should not complain. You are right. And it's only going to get better. Spring is here. We made it. Yeah. I mean, it was like negative 10 a week ago. So yeah.
None of us could feel our faces.
Not at all. Not at all. Well, and Quincy, do you care to introduce yourself as well?
Yes. Hi. I'm Quincy Bachman. Pronouns they, she. I'm the managing director with Full Circle Theater. And I'm very excited to be here.
Oh, great. Yeah. Okay, great. Well, maybe we'll go back to Shay to begin here. I'm just curious about, tell people what your company does, what you're all about, what you have coming up, and we'll just start with those sort of fundamental questions.
Yeah, absolutely. Just first giving a huge shout out to theater. There's so much of it. There's just when you think you have a handle on, you know, your area, even you realize that there's so many more, you know, whether they're, you know, small ones or big ones that have changed names or shapes, et cetera. So we are Full Circle Theater company. We're based here in the Twin Cities. And Full Circle has been around for 10 years. And its mission, its formal mission, is to create transformative theater. It really tries to center marginalized people, practices, perspectives. Equity and access is huge for us, and just really engaging diverse artists and audiences as we, you know, move towards a socially inclusive world. So that means, and that shows up through theater that is alive, that feels organic, that opens its doors instead of closes its doors. That tries to say yes a lot, that might, you know, take risks in some ways, that, you know, allows for us to grow. I definitely feel as leaders and as someone who's just recently stepped into this role in the organization. I joined in October. Risk taking and, you know, experimentation and trying to get it right, but might get it wrong. But having a generous spaciousness to ask questions and invite your community in is huge. So that's kind of my nugget or nutshell. And then much more, but I think that's enough that kind of gets me up each morning, you know, with both that perplexing, you know, question, but also that excitement.
Yeah, that's so great. And we can talk more as we go. I want to bring Quincy in here, but we can definitely talk more as we go about what role theater is going to have in this new world that I think we're all emerging into, this super mediated technocracy, AI, social media world. What does community mean now? What does it mean to be local? What does it mean to be embodied and to make theater? And again, how do we open those doors really, really wide? That's something I'm very genuinely passionate about too. I really, really dislike this idea that theater is for other people or for over there, or I really think it's an essential part of our common humanity. I've said that for a very long time. So I'm looking forward to that. Quincy, what's your background with this theater company? And do you have any thoughts about what Shay was saying there?
Yeah. So I started with Full Circle. It will be 10 years this month for me, actually.
10 years?
I started, yeah.
Congratulations.
Fresh out of college, I got this gig, which is so rare. Yeah, I know.
Wonderful.
Yeah, I started in it with Rick and Martha, Rick Shiomi and Martha Johnson. Martha was my professor at Augsburg, my theater professor, and really enjoyed working with me and brought me into this company. They thought they were going to retire, and they're not very good at retiring, so they created this company, and it's been on quite a journey since then.
Keep going.
I think one of the things that I definitely want to highlight that Shay was talking about is specifically our commitment to accessibility. That's something that has really grown with this company, kind of from the beginning of us sort of looking at trying to hire disabled actors in disabled roles. We were even doing that or looking to do that back in around 2017, 2018, when it was a newer conversation. And we've now really made that a huge part of our company, to the point that we just did a disability in theater event this past month in February. And a continuation of that, we had a conversation about that tonight with the community.
Great. How would you say the company has evolved over 10 years in 90 seconds?
Oh, wow. That's a lot. Oh, my gosh.
You should have said in a word.
Right. In a word. Yes. That's all right.
Yeah. I feel like what really is happening now is we're coming out of the pandemic is really finding our roots with community again. I think that's really important and something that theater needs to be looking for. And I also just want to uplift Shay and say that she's been really great at making that happen.
And even though I'm, you know, I have an outside, inside kind of eye still, I would say new work, a combination of like lifting up classics, but reimagining them, but also, you know, pouring into the development and the support of new work by local playwrights and them developing their voice, I think is huge for the company.
That's
we're
great.
Very much artist focused company. Like, I think we're artists first.
How are you? You're speaking to two playwrights, one of whom is local, and my career started here in the Twin Cities, acting and but principally playwriting, and the Playwright Center was a really instrumental part of that for me. And we at our little company, we like to give opportunities to you know, living playwrights. We sort of consider ourselves a new writing theater. And we've done, I don't even know, maybe 8-10 readings. And those can just be so helpful for the development process and give a playwright like a leg up. So, I mean, how are you activating that? Are you, do you have programs for local writers? Are you running workshops? Is it educational? What does that look like?
I think both and all. And I think what Quincy mentioned, I think, is one thing that a lot of small theaters like Full Circle Theater are still facing, sort of the aftermath of COVID. Mm-hmm. So like, what did we do before COVID? What are we doing now? Particularly with, you know, space and prices that have really kind of skyrocketed and et cetera. And it doesn't necessarily serve as a reason for not doing the good work, but I definitely think there's a reimagining of all of those things you just asked about, like how do we create that accessibility, right, to the information? How do folks know how to submit their work to Full Circle Theater, or how do we look at the process of forming a relationship in a kind of an old school kind of way, right? So growing new relationships and allowing, you know, particularly with this company, is allowing those relationships, or you might come on as a dramaturg, or you might come on as, you know, you might just attend the show and then develop a relationship with the company. And then a few years later, we're producing your, you know, your play. So I think some of that is that organicness that I mentioned earlier, but Full Circle also formally has a reading and development series called Circle Up. And that's an opportunity, yeah, for to kind of unpack whatever the new work is, or, you know, build on the material that might still be in motion. And I think once in a while, although not on a regular basis, the company solicits work. But the last time it solicited work, it did get hundreds of submissions.
It's crazy.
Yeah, we use New Play Exchange, and I think we got over 600 submissions and had to narrow it down to like 4 or 5 for our reading series.
I love the New Play Exchange, and I know, I mean, I know Polly Carl and those people from way back in the day. They almost made it too easy to do submissions. Like, it's like my cup overfloweth, for sure. I had a great experience with them where I went out to the Valdez Theater Conference in Alaska, and there was a reading of my play. And I came home, and I was all jet lagged and tired, and you know, it was weird. It was sunny all the time in Alaska, by the way. So I was so happy to come home to the night, which maybe says something about me. But I got home, and there were like 7 lovely, nice reviews from people at Valdez, fellow playwrights. Do you know? So in any case, if you're a playwright and you're not on the New Play Exchange, or if you want to get into playwriting and you're not there, get on there. That is a thing. Yeah. In any case, how did you wade through 600? I mean, did you just do a reading party, or kind of winnow it down and go, okay, we're looking, you know, this has a cast of 30, I don't know, or how'd you do it?
Rumor has it that they read every single submission. And of course,
we had like it was a whole crew of us that like took on a different amount. And then we had this whole system of ranking of like, does this fit with our mission? Does like, you know, a variety of different things, how many characters, some of those things, can we take on a musical right now or not, you know? And it's so hard because there are so many amazing scripts out there that, you know, we just might not be right for. And so we were also kind of passing them off, like, this is a fully Asian cast, this is should maybe go to Moo, or things like that.
Right. I mean, it's, you know, having been on both sides of that, and having been in some rooms where I've been shown stacks of scripts that are taller than I am, you know, just human, just like, this is what you're up against. That's a great lesson for a young playwright, for a playwright of any age, I guess. But then being on the other side, there's a strata of quality where you're just like, this is all good, but we can only do one of these, or we can only do five. So how do you navigate that? It's a very tricky thing. I think this is one of the reasons that people kind of shy away from new work and new writing. So I admire that you do that. What, tell me again, Shay, what was the name of this? Is it a reading festival of a development festival? When does that happen each year?
It's a series, and it typically happens in the spring. And we will not be doing it this spring. We'll be doing some of that work informally. Like Quincy said, we still have scripts. We're still soliciting, you know, there's still others that may have solicited in the past that still, you know, update us with their new work. And we are launching our first ever in-person fundraiser. So in place of any spring activities. So that will be in May, the very top of May. But keep your eyes out, because it's a wonderful way for us internally to see new work, to test it, to also give actors a chance to, you know, hone their, you know, their abilities and talents. It's a connection point. We can follow up also with information about, we have a general, we'll put in the chat, we'll put our general, email as well. So if anybody wants to follow up with Full Circle, they can email us at our info line.
Yeah. Put it in there and I'll rattle it off, in a really voiceover style way. I'll say the same thing for our theater company, badmouthtc.com. We always say on every episode, pretty much, if you have something going on around the Twin Cities or even beyond, hit us up, badmouthtc@gmail.com. I think you can see these episodes are pretty easy to record, right? It takes an hour. It's on Zoom. It's very casual, very fun. Everybody has a good time and we're all copacetic. And it doesn't just have to be about theater, although it tends to be about theater. I'm looking at the email. It is info@fullcircletheatermn.org. And that's theater ER. One more time, info@fullcircletheatermn.org. So if you have new work, if you want to get involved, go there. You can also just go to the website and there's a mailing list, and I see social media and all the rest. And that's, I imagine, a good way to stay in touch. And go on, Shay. I can see you have something. Yeah.
I did want to just kind of speak to what Quincy mentioned, which is, I think, Quincy mentioned, you know, after receiving all of those submissions, just kind of being, you know, communal in the sense of like, maybe this doesn't fit, isn't a great fit for us, but let's pass it to a theater, you know, partner. And I'm just so curious. I feel like a lot of that used to happen way back in the day. And I love hearing stuff like that, because I don't necessarily know if it happens as much as we think it does anymore. And maybe just because people are super busy and people are swamped and people are just trying to get through their own stacks. But I do feel like if we as a theater community, even Kevin, you mentioned too, you know, you guys' work, if mm-hmm. we as a theater community, there was a little more motion in terms of, you know, hey, let's call up Full Circle Theater. Let's see if they have somebody for this audition, or let's call, you know, so just, I think there, or let's pass them up, you know, this, somebody's new to town, I know who I can put you in touch with. So I'm curious how we can continue to promote those systems of collaboration and partnership and just mutual.
Totally.
Yeah.
Yeah. Collaboration. We're in a spirit of sharing rather than excluding, right? Like, or hoarding. Yeah. I'll say that I think I mentioned Polly Carl earlier. She's Hal around. I was thinking, so we're talking about the new play exchange. I was thinking about Nan Barnett, who's the executive director of the new play exchange. And Nan came on the pod, didn't she, Maury? Yeah, of course.
Yeah, she came on the pod and she was lovely.
Yeah. She's great. And they're going to have the new play exchange is going to have their conference in town here, I believe, pretty soon. And I met Nan out in Alaska. And this is all by way of saying they have a really strong system for sharing work within their network. It's very codified. And I'm not saying we have to turn this into a meeting where we do something like this for the Twin Cities or anything, right? But it would be cool to look at that model and sort of to say, okay, maybe, because they do these regular things where they'll take submissions, because this is a wide network of theaters. Like I believe Mixed Blood is part of the network and everything. And they will advocate for a script and then sort of share it in these big town hall meetings. So I think that's a great model. I don't really know what the answer is. It's interesting to think about.
Tonight on the heels of Constellations, which is an annual production that centers disability artists and theater, that is actually Quincy's brainchild, but has quickly evolved to really be a touchstone for the community. So we just, because that production that we launched at the top of February was so successful, folks really wanted to continue, you know, they were asking like, when's the next one? Or when are we meeting up? So we just kind of launched organically, just a conversation series, and it'll be in person and virtually to continue those conversations, but also to create space for that's not all like already curated. You know what I mean? It's like, those are sometimes, you know, the spaces where you just kind of show up and something, you know, you might make a connection or an idea might spark another idea. You know, when I grew up way back in the day and the like hip hop community, I would just go to events because I knew that, you know, something might trigger an idea because that's the way I write. And then I go home and I create a whole piece. So sometimes I think it also is just about making space or creating the opportunity that's not curated, trusting that the community will fill it up. You know what I mean? Fill up the cup.
Yeah, I agree with that.
I want to hear a bit more about Constellations, which I believe is your most recent production, which I went on your website and I was so happy to see that this was not a production of Nick Payne's Constellations, which is a great play that I can't see another time. So especially if this is something that is recurring yearly, tell us about that production, how it went, what it was like working on it.
Constellations was the third installment of our disability in theater events. It started as a very small event of working with disabled artists and getting kind of short little, like maybe 1 minute monologues. And it was a very small event and it was more discussion focused. And I think as we've worked with some of these artists over the years and they've started to kind of grow as artists, we now were able to get pieces from them that were almost 10 minutes long. And so we had kind of a 40 minute showcase of that. And I think something where Full Circle does excel is our ability to, with the artists that we're working with, just put something on the calendar and say, you're doing a new piece at this time. And then kind of the pressure of that brings out new work. Sometimes, unfortunately, you know, stress creates diamonds, as they say, or, you know, whatever that saying is. But yeah, so it was really fun to see these pieces. And I know, one of our artists even kind of did a 1 minute version of his piece tonight. And it's just people with a wide variety of disabilities, both apparent and non-apparent. And it's really great to learn from them.
And have you collaborated with these artists over multiple years? How's it been to see them grow and see their work change?
Yeah, so Fern Naomi Renville and Hua Mua are two of the people that we've worked with since the beginning. We also have worked with Dr. Nathan Stenberg, who used to be based here in Minnesota while he was getting his doctorate and is now out in the East Coast, being a huge advocate for accessibility and for disabled folks. And it's really great to see because they're, I feel like we've all been learning together about different ways to make things accessible. You know, we started kind of small and we realized we were doing it on Zoom and it's very hard to tell that people are disabled on Zoom. You just kind of see their head and it takes away some of that real look at people who are disabled. And now with our most recent version, we did kind of a film recording of it in person of their performances. So you could see full body shots. You could see folks that are wheelchair users or might have some sort of, like I have a limp as someone who has a cerebral palsy. And so those are things that you get to see and not just feel like you're behind a box in Zoom.
And it also kind of stretched. What I love about it is that the last production that we did, it's not just the artists that are being stretched. It's also us as a company. And we're running it alongside our own internal accessibility audit. And so our coordinator, you know, is working with us, you know, over a period of time to ask, you know, where do we fall in terms of, you know, accessibility and what are the areas that we could really seek to grow in? What are the questions we have? And so in real time, we're realizing, oh, wait, we might need a screen, you know, reader, or we might need to provide or maybe ask different questions in order to be more accessible instead of make assumptions. Or, you know, I might need to describe myself each time I'm making a comment so that I'm truly. So I think moving away from feeling like it's work and towards feeling like, wow, we are learning a lot. We are growing. And this needs to become a part of our regular vocabulary in the ways that we do. Mm-hmm. We do the work. Yeah. Yeah.
Right. Right. Not a special sort of afterthought.
Yeah. Yeah. Or a headache, you know, like, oh, right. I got it wrong. And how do I get, you know, so it's like, that is the process. That's the process of growth.
Absolutely. One of the most affecting productions I've ever seen was at the Soho Theater many, many years ago in London. I've got London on the mind. I'm going over there next week. They're doing my play there. So I'm really excited. Moderationplay.com. It's going to be a lot of fun. I can't wait. But it was at the Soho Theater by a company named Grey Eye, and their entire sort of their mission is to work with differently abled, disabled talent. And they did Sarah Kane's Blasted, the infamous Blasted. And the actor who played the soldier was a fellow who had no legs, but he had this incredible upper body. He was just jacked. And they had built the stage so that he could maneuver around the stage. And I've never stopped thinking about that production that stayed with me forever. It really changed the way I saw theater. And initially I was really revolted by the play itself, but then I thought more and more about the choice to do that and sort of what it symbolized. It really struck me. It literally landed on my head like 3 weeks later. I was like, oh, that was brilliant. Yeah, so that's great. So I really appreciate the mission. I really appreciate that you're focusing on new writing. It sounds like, Shay, you're very excited to sort of be coming on here, and you have some really big ideas. Tell me more about this this sort of conversation series. What's going on there? Where can people find that? What's the motivation? What do you hope happens?
Well, it's brand spanking new. And it really did just grow out of the success of our last production. And so we're trying to figure out what is the continuum. It feels like we definitely want to be in conversation once a month. But today was our first day. We held it at 6 o'clock in the evening, and we moved it to online. But the idea is to, and you can correct me if I'm wrong, Quincy, but I think the idea is to have a virtual option, but also an in-person option. So unfortunately, we don't have the next date set. We did a poll just now, and I think we're going to that's also part of the work is like moving slower sometimes instead of fast to just kind of plop a date and send it out and just make sure that it actually works for our community. So we will, on our website, we will post the date, and on our social media, which Quincy can let you know where to find it, we will make sure that we we update those with the upcoming date. But we're aiming to have another one before the end of this month for sure. And that series, it's not just members from the disabled community. The idea is actually to create way more connection across communities. So able-bodied and disabled community members, we're seeking those that lead theaters, those that are actors or creatives in different, you know, multidisciplinary ways to come together. We're curious also about arts activism and some of the things that people are moving forward or asking questions, from funding to accessibility. So it's a great platform to pop in and say, hey, I didn't know that that was going on, or hey, oh, this is what we're doing over here. We would love to be in collaboration with folks. So that's, yeah, those are some of the things that we've got bubbling up with it.
I like that you're committed to doing some of this online. I mean, our company is, obviously we do this podcast. Anybody can listen to this. I mean, I do another podcast that people listen to all around the world. You know, I know this one is a little more local, but if, you know, Mari's in New York, somebody in London might listen to this, I think. And, you know, we've done a lot of like sort of readings. So if we're rehearsing a reading, you know, we did a whole series at Waldman. We're rehearsing the reading. We just baked it into the rehearsals to record it and put it out and say, hey, this is rough. But it's a rough reading and you can listen to it wherever you are. And I think there's something to be said for that. And I see theaters doing this more and more and more. We're never going to replace what's in the room, right? And in fact, I think more and more people are going to be, there's going to be a turning point where people want to get back into the room.
How often are you guys in the room?
Oh, well, our company's a little funny. I mean, this is our niche little company. We did a production of my play, Moderation, last October. Mari, of course, is in New York. Amanda, our other co-founder, who we have to shout out and say, you know, that we're thinking about you, Amanda, and Ryan. We're thinking about the both of you. Amanda, they are having a family thing. But there was a period where we were doing readings at Waldman, frenetically. We were doing readings like every month for 5 months in a row, and we had a nice little audience baked in, but we kind of backed off from that for a little while. And we're getting ready to do kind of a strange project. It's almost like a movie. In fact, I want to mention this. We're looking for a sound recordist in the Twin Cities. If you want to work on a micro budget movie, I'm being told not to call it a micro budget, but that's what it is. We have a budget for you if you're a sound recordist, okay? If you want to make a movie with a bunch of theater kooks, email us at badmouthtc@gmail.com. We're shooting it here in April. And then after that, you know, we were looking at maybe doing the Fringe, but that, I think we got on the wait list. And so now we're probably going to do it sounds like maybe a Christmas show, but like a what, Mari, what would you call it? Like at a bar, and it's set at a bar.
Yeah, like a site, a sort of site-specific
immersive thing,
thing that's fun for theater people and non-theater people alike.
So we want to try to do two or three production-y type things a year. How about y'all? Do you have a dedicated space? I wanted to ask about that. No, are you? You're itinerant like we are.
Yeah, we're transient. And then maybe Quincy, if you want to speak to that, or how Full Circle has used that to its advantage, particularly in the beginning around touring and partnerships.
Yeah. We started very grassroots with our first show, and it was very autobiographical of our core artists talking about how they came into theater. And so it was a very easy show to move around. We had like maybe a couple of blocks and then a bunch of costumes that we'd throw in a minivan from space to space. In the beginning, kind of our home was what was Dreamland Arts is now The Hive. That's a really nice, very accessible small theater in St. Paul that we love.
We love The Hive. We've had them on the pod more than once, and that's where we did Moderation. Yeah.
Wonderful people. Yeah. In a wonderful space. We also just recorded our constellations there. And then we've also kind of done like little tours where we were at Wilder Foundation in one of kind of their auditorium-ish rooms. And we did something at like the Center for Hmong Arts and Neighborhood House. So we've kind of moved around. We did a little bit, a couple of years on the ninth floor of the Guthrie when they were still doing that. And then have kind of found a little bit of a home at Park Square for a while. But we're just constantly moving and adapting to the space.
Yeah. There's a very particular challenge to that, but there's also some freedom. You're not paying rent, and you know, as we know, the rent is too high. but it would be great. Like, I have a personal little dream of like a little storefront theater one day, you know, but I've done enough business in my own life and sort of have a family. I know how complex it is. As soon as you are running a space, you're a business. Even if you have nonprofit at the on the door, right? Do y'all ever aspire to dedicated space? I mean, is this what the fundraiser is about? I see Shay, you're sort of making a face here.
Well, I just love that. I love that little dream. And I also love sort of the questions around it. It's like, oh, but then if you commit to physical space, then, you know, it's all downhill after there. But I mean, I'm the new girl on the block. And, you know, I've been really blessed as a solo artist, you know, to work with many different companies and, you know, and also to be invited in as a resident director or even an actor, performer. And so, I think I see the perks of, you know, what, like you said, it's the easy flexibility that allows us to keep, you know, the overhead low, but then, you know, how do we, you know, the sense of belonging that a space can offer, the connection to the physical and geographical community, you know, that it's neighborhood that it's based in. I think sometimes that's harder to establish. But I have a pretty experimental background in general. And I'm used to like learning the rules in order to break the rules enough to allow us to still be here, you know, decades later. And so I, since I've come, no one has said anything about having a space, but I do love, you know, you've mentioned some theaters outside of the Twin Cities. And I think if we look at some of those global models, particularly my husband and I were invited to Sweden once for film festivals. We make films too. But one of the things that fascinated me about the festival is the first thing was that they start off with young people because they really just pour into these young people, these young, you know, filmmakers, these young storytellers. And then the second was, you know, they took us on a tour. They knew I was a performing artist. They took us on this tour, the city of all of these really kind of innovative spaces, but they all had like 20 resident theaters. And I just thought, whoa, that's a lot. But the model makes so much sense because nobody has a big burden. You know, they're all kind of holding it up. And I can imagine the calendar's a nightmare, but I love that model and I feel it's very underused. So when you open that storefront, Kevin, please call me. Because I have some plays I could do in there.
Well, you know, in my formative years here, Red Eye was really important to me. They're the first company that ever commissioned anything for me, and they put it on. It was so, Steve and Miriam were just so kind and generous with their wisdom. I got so much out of that. And they have that Works in Progress series. And I know it's under new management, and it's kind of a cohort now and everything. But they, just in terms of like a powerful storefront theater. Just wonderful. And so, yeah, again, but I, you know, I have young children, Amanda, they're going to be starting there for, you know, so there's, we're of an age, you know, where it's like, oh boy, well, how much do we really want to commit to? So we try to do as much as we can. That's one of the things about this radio show. I feel like we can be a part of the community. We can contribute. And I'm, you know, I'm sitting here and I'll just be able to, you know, put this online and then get, you know, go on with my day. Theater is very hard. I don't think people realize it is just like an absolute, but it's worth it. I think that's the point. So Shay, are you a playwright yourself? Is that how you would define yourself first?
I'm pretty multidisciplinary. So I started off, I'm classically trained in theater and I started directing probably about 8-9 years ago. So I do quite a lot of that now. I write plays and I do it all, but I also fell in love with poetry at an early age. So storytelling is my access point. And I do quite a bit of producing too. So I'm that all around kind of theater kid. That's like, you need to get it done. Oh, the wigs don't work. Let's create a new wig. The director's creating a wig. Okay. So I'm that girl. Oh, and the choreographer. Oh, she's not here. Okay. I'm going to have to work this. So I myself on that.
that's the attitude to have in the theater. And we shouldn't be precious about it. I don't think, you know, there's some things we should be precious about. I mean, but other things, when it comes down to making the work, we should be workers, I think, in the theater, you know, and doers. I mean, I really like that.
I think, you know, if we remain open enough, then we allow ourselves to be impacted by the art form, because that's the true essence, I think, of the art form, to change us and to change them, to change us, to change itself. And so I just pray that we stay open enough to be a part of that alive process that theater is.
Absolutely. Yeah, there's something that maybe a tired word, but it really is transformational. And and you're never at any age. I mean, I guess maybe I'm thinking about, but at any age, I mean, for children, for grown adults, you know, I think there's a bit of an idea in America that it's for, you know, at a certain point you age out of doing this. And I certainly hope not, you know. I love it. And, you know, and I find myself occasionally, because I came up in these young writers programs, had a really, really transformative year in the UK where they talk about young writers, you know, 18 to 25, and they really, you know, make a thing out of that. And it was so important to me. But I find myself saying that, and I'm always trying to correct myself by going, new playwrights, right? If you're hearing this and you think, wow, it'd be fun to write a play, and you're not 18 to 25, you can write a play. Nobody's going to stop you. nobody might care when you're done, you know, too. Like you might have to, whatever, struggle for a while. But I guess that's my point, is that I think theater is for everybody at every age. Quincy, following on that, can I ask you about your background in the theater? When we meet new people on Mouthing Off, especially theater people, I just default to these questions because I'm genuinely curious. I love hearing people's kind of origin stories.
Yeah, I feel like first I fell into it by accident, where I was, you know, one of those weird introverted loner kids where my mom was like, my kid needs an activity, I need them out of the house. And she put me in theater camps as a kid. So I started a little bit in acting. I feel like that's a lot where people start off. And then as I went through kind of high school and college, I started moving towards more of the behind the scenes stuff. So I feel like now that's more what I do, basically anything other than acting. I did act in Constellations, which was the first time I had done it in probably 10 years. But I feel like, for myself at least, I feel like I do an okay impression of an actor, but maybe not acting. So I've stage managed, sound design, pretty much everything else.
I have acted poorly. But I think as a playwright, I think you have to try your hand at it. I really do. And Mari, your last big thing was you acted in The Maids, in a successful run of The Maids in New York City. Again, I hope it's okay if I throw a question at Mari. Mari, how do you find that the acting influences your playwriting?
I think it's just the best kind of workout that you can do as a theater artist is to like do an act in a challenging piece. It is just a really good sort of intellectual workout. It gets you back in your body and it reminds you that about, the essence of drama, which is saying things with intention and being present with another person. I think that every playwright should be in a play, which is something that we've said many, many times. But if you have not been in a play and you want to write a play, go ahead and write it. But you should try being in one first and see how that influences the way that you write and work.
Yeah, I completely agree. I mean, the thing I'm always saying is that if writing a play without ever having acted or even thought, think of it, it's like trying to write a symphony without playing an instrument, right? Like you could probably pull it off, but boy, it's like it's just low hanging fruit. Even if you just take an acting class, something. It was really, really good for me. And I'm always telling people too that even if you're I'm awful at music. I've always been horrible at music, and it's one of the secret pains that I carry around in my life because my mother's side of the family are so super talented. My brother can just play by ear, crazy, super talented. Picks up an instrument, can learn it, and just a gift. And I don't have it. I have something for words. It's more of a gift. But I can still play "Wish You Were Here" on the guitar. And I appreciate it more knowing what I don't know, but knowing just enough to dabble a little bit. So my point is, like, if you feel maybe stymied by shyness, not to change your personality, not to change who you are, but if you have trouble public speaking, take an acting class. All right, don't go do Toastmasters. I mean, maybe if you want, you know what I mean? But like, I think an acting class is more fun. I really do. Let me bring it back around to full circle theater here. Shay, do y'all do any classes or anything like that, or is it something on the horizon?
Right, currently we're not doing any, but we embed the training and the development in our productions. And so whether that's the roundtable work, whether that's the dramaturgical work on the script, and this last production of Constellations, quite a lot of heavy lifting around writing and development, around character work, around voice and vocal and breathing and physical presence. So, in a real kind of immediate way, because I've done a lot of like going into colleges, going in schools, and working with the teacher or working with students. And it's at the end of the day, it's the same work. How do you create an environment where that produces growth? And so it would be great for us to be able to do some of those, to offer some of those publicly. And
Yeah, we have a little bit in the past. We did a director showcase and an actor showcase. I think we're kind of in, again, that weird time coming out of the pandemic, trying to reassess what do we want to bring back from that time. But I do know that's something that we really try to focus on also in our work is something that we consider like intergenerational mentoring. Like, I feel like there's a lot of learning from one another in a lot of different ways. Everyone has different experiences with technology or are at different places in the career, acting, directing, anything. And it's very much like a hands-on learning experience, which I think theater is a lot of the time anyway.
yeah, I think we need more of that, more generosity. Whenever a writer in my weird little circle on Twitter or whatever reaches out, and I'm in different group chats, somebody will go, I have a short story, and then it'll just be crickets. It's like, send it to me. Takes me 10 minutes to read a short story and 5 minutes to put feedback together. And I always ask if they want feedback. I don't know if they just want a reader, but I always ask. I try to be polite and generous. Yeah, Mari.
I just wanted to say that, I mean, I think doing showcases and nights of short work and community talks are one of the best ways to build an audience right now, because not only are you getting to work with so many new incredible artists, but you're bringing in, you know, if you have five directors instead of one and everybody brings three friends, then that's a really great way to get your work out there as a company and a great way to get ingratiated into the community. So I think it's really good that you're doing this work, because obviously we all love to do plays. But doing these sort of other styles of events is a really good way to integrate yourself in the community, I think.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
What's the New York scene right now, the underground New York scene? Does it feel like it's still as vibrant as it ever was?
You know, I moved here in, I believe, 2023, so I haven't been here for very long. I was in the Twin Cities before that, but there's a lot of really great work happening. It's just that it can get clicky and disconnected in a sense, but I saw an excellent production of Stephen Barber's Tape, if anybody's familiar with that play. And if you're in New York, I believe it's running for 2 more weeks from Athens Theater Group. It's Tape, great 3-person play. And I think that it's interesting that you say that the issue is, one of the main issues that you face is space, because that's the number one issue here, is that there are so many people who are hungry to work and just dying to do something, but space is so inaccessible. It's either booked to the nines, ridiculously expensive, too small. There's so many issues with space. And so I think that something's got to give, I think, sort of everywhere where more spaces become available for artists to use. You know, if you're in Minneapolis and you've got a loft that, you know, maybe you only use once a week, give it to some theater artists because they will use it.
There you go. They can come and perform in my living room.
Listen, some of the greatest, I've seen some great backyard plays.
Yeah.
When I was in Austin for grad school, somebody did a production of one of my favorite plays, one of the reasons I'm a playwright, Proof. And they did it on a back porch.
Yeah.
Under the sky, you know?
Go ahead.
No, go ahead, Shay.
I was going to say Louisiana. I know that there was a huge spread that I think either TCG or MPN did a few years ago about the innovation of space and how a lot of those artists were using backyards, front porches, front yards, living rooms. And I think a popular series, even in London, it was Malaika's Kitchen, where she literally started a poetry hangout in her kitchen. And then it just kept evolving on the West End. But it, again, just reminding people that we don't need to be so constricted by space. If you have a brilliant idea, just kind of bring the people together and, the people will come.
Yeah. I mean, we were very fortunate to have the fellow reach out to us, from the old Lee's Liquor Lounge.
Oh yeah.
Do you know Lee's?
Yeah.
I never drank there, and I never will, because it's closed. And also I no longer drink, but what a dive. Incredible. I've never seen a place like it. They have, to give people an idea, it's like, you've got to think Bukowski. They had a place where they had a room with a little like bank teller window where you could cash your check. So you could drink your check away on Friday night. It's that kind of, isn't that amazing? Well, this guy, and this is a long way of saying, listen, if you have, if you're wealthy, or if you just have, if you're, you know, I guess, you know, land rich and cash poor, you got a space and you're listening to this show and you're going, how do I help these theater people? How do I help? Really? You could just reach out to a theater company and say, hey, I have a space. Do you want to do something? That's exactly what happened to us with Lee's Liquor Lounge. And, we're going to do this shoot in April. We're renting it. I mean, we're not total deadbeats, unlike maybe some of the patrons that used to frequent Lee's. I don't know. It looks like an amazing place. They have like literally have a plaque dedicated to like the last people who were on the bar stools the last night that it closed. Mari, you've never been there. You're going to be there because Mari is acting in this thing anyway. But that guy just reached out to us, and then, you know, and he wants foot traffic and he wants a show to go on there. So we're leaning towards saying to him, hey, let us do this sort of holiday show. And that's really how it happens. It's just human connections. It's just somebody hears about you online and offers a space and suddenly something happens. So if you're hearing this and you're thinking, you know, gosh, I'm kind of bored of Netflix and binge, you know, I kind of want to, you know, binging Netflix. I kind of want to do something in my community. Consider going to FullCircleTheaterMN.org. It's theater ER, and get out there, get involved. Theater is for everyone. Shay, Quincy, this has been a real pleasure. We are out of time. Shay, in the chat, you mentioned something about your next main stage show. We would love to come, but maybe more importantly, we would love to have you back on to promote it on Mouthing Off on 94.1 Frogtown Radio here in beautiful St. Paul, Minnesota, and online at badmouthtc.com and wherever you find your podcasts. Shay, Quincy, this has been a real pleasure. Thank you for coming on. You're welcome anytime.
Thank you so much for your generosity.
Thank you.
No, really, that was fun. It went so fast. All right. Full Circle Theater. Take care.